Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
When Adam and Eve sinned against God, they did die, but they didn't realize how horrible the death they just died really was. Because what they died was not in their physical body. They died in their spirit towards God.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's get back into this message series with Pastor Rogers. This is Transformed. Change your mind, change your life. This is part two from that series. Let's go into the word today.
Think on these things. The command of God here. The command of God is to set our minds on the positive Christ qualities on a daily basis. How many of you would agree that that's a struggle every day when you got all the stuff that's hitting you? Okay? All right? Because why? Because we are moved by our feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Because if I see it, it's real. If I touch it, it's real. If I taste it, it's real. But you haven't tasted heaven yet. And it's real. Amen. Come on, somebody. Go a little deeper here tonight. Why does it matter then what we think? Why can't I just think and do whatever I want to do? Why does it matter? As long as I do right, Pastor, does God really care what I'm thinking about? Why is that so important? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here are five reasons for being transformed in your thinking that matters to God. Number one, prior to your new birth experience, our thinking was futile, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Futile, and our understanding was darkened. We didn't know the direction to go. We were like the Bible says in the book of Genesis in the beginning, we were void and empty, dark. Darkness, listen, in the Word of God, the term darkness is a reference, it is synonymous with the terminology and the meaning of ignorance. So when you're in darkness, you're in ignorance. That's the reason why the Bible says he's coming. John the Baptist said in John chapter number 1 that I'm not the light, but I've come to bear witness of the light, because when the light comes, you're going to be able to see. He said the reason why you're in such trouble is because the God of this world has blinded the eyes, lest you can see and hear and realize that there's a new day dawn. Aren't you glad for the day that Jesus came and turned the light on inside of your life? Amen. What does this mean? It means being without a purpose. From God's perspective, even if our depraved kind of mindset and state, in that state, you need to understand that we are even pursuing, this is the reason why that atheists do not exist. I don't believe in God. I bet you do on your deathbed. I've stood beside some that declared that they didn't believe in God, but I can tell you right now, when it came right down to it and they started feeling the flames and started feeling death slipping on them and their breath leaving them, they were crying, oh, God, yeah, which one? Oh, no, make no mistake about it. It ain't Buddha, Muhammad, or anybody else. Oh, Jesus. I've told you before, ranked sinners will put on the brakes when they know they're about to hit another car and they don't say, oh, Buddha. They always put Jesus in there, because at the end of the day, when you're done with all the other gods, there is only one. How do I know that's true? Philippians says, there's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord of the glory of God the Father. So we didn't possess the light of life in the beginning. But the power of God's supernatural intervention, something happened in our life, and we were changed in a moment by the glorious power of Jesus Christ. Why do I need my mind changed? Why does my thinking matter? It matters because at the new birth, we receive the Holy Spirit who knows the mind of God. He is God, so he knows the mind of God. Don't second guess the Holy Spirit. When he comes in, he will, John 16 says, he will lead us and guide us into what? All truth. Not some truth. Not truth that he gets from somewhere else. In fact, the Holy Spirit says, I only do what the Father says for me to do. And I don't come to glorify myself. Whenever I am saying anything about the way you should change yourself or change your way of thinking, I'm always pointing to the man Jesus Christ. Jesus said, he shall glorify me. So he's not leading you into some other ghost. I'm amazed. I'm always amazed at people coming to church and all, oh, I just get scared when you people start talking in tongues. But they'll watch a horror movie. I mean, honestly, some of this stuff is demonic and all that, and it's coming at you, and they're going, and their eyes and their heads blowing off and all that kind of stuff, and speaking in some foreign language. Oh, isn't this cool? This is cool, man. And you don't get freaked out about that, but when people get up like Sunday morning and start dancing and shouting and praising God in the Holy Ghost, and suddenly you want to run for the door because you're scared, no, you're convicted. Yeah. Yeah. You don't know the difference between scared and convicted. The Holy Spirit is manifesting himself so you can know that the power of God is real. Now, he doesn't do that for exhibition. He does that for transformation. And that's what happened around this altar Sunday morning. Are you hearing me? I could tell when I stepped to this pulpit that there was a looming cloud of the battle of Satan happening inside of this building to keep the light from being turned on. And if we would have just gone on with our religious service, and we could have, chances are those folks that got transformed around this altar and saved on Sunday morning would not have even happened, because we would have fulfilled our feelings of religious form without the power of God. But I came to tell you, I'm not up here just to give you some little pablum or to go through the forms without the power. If there's no manifestation of the power, something's wrong, and we need to plant down and say, we're not leaving, God, until you bless me. That's to be your attitude on a daily basis by the renewing of your mind. You need to have an encounter with God every day. You don't have to wait till Sunday to have that kind of God encounter like we had Sunday morning. I dare you to get up in the morning, get in your prayer closet, turn everybody off and everything off, and get in there and start talking in the Holy Ghost. And I'll promise you, ladies and gentlemen, he will come near a worshiper. You can have your own God encounter right there. You can have your own burning bush right there. And what's going to happen? He's going to start talking stuff to you that's going to renew your mind. I'll tell you what else he'll do. He'll show you things that are going to happen that day and give you answers before the questions ever come. I'll tell you what else he'll do. He'll lead you in the direction that you need to go, so that the car wreck where the enemy tried to kill you on Ninth Avenue, he'll take you down Davis Highway, and you won't even know that the Holy Ghost has done something for you until you get back home and you say, man, it's been a great day, and the enemy was waiting for you. But because your mind was sensitive to the power of God and you had it renewed, you were willing to say yes to God instead of to your emotions. Number three, the Holy Spirit reveals the mind of God to us through the Word of God. That's the reason why you got to read the Word of God. But don't just read it, you need to read it. Knowing the thoughts of God, the Spirit has revealed them to us, given us the Word of God. And it's through the illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit that we're able to actually comprehend divine truth. You understand that? That's what Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. He said, I pray that your eye, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why is he saying that? Your spirit has eyes, but not eyes. Your spirit has vision. How do I know that? Because God's put stuff on the inside of me that I haven't seen yet, but I've seen it. Y'all miss what I'm talking about. I said, I've seen it, but I haven't seen it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, because I'm feeding my mind upon the thing that is out in the future for me, I'm not stuck in somebody's gossip, backbiting, or their negative thinking. I don't care what you say, what's going on around here. I've got a vision in my spirit. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. The Bible says that when Elijah was up on the mountain and all of a sudden there was the rain that was about to come, he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. There was no rain dropping, but on the inside of him, he heard the sound of thunder before it ever manifested himself, and he told the king, get in your chariot and get down this mountain because it's about to be a flood. Amen. People think you're crazy. You know? They said, Easterwood, what do you mean you're going to open up another place in Milton and open up another place? Well, in my spirit, I see. Now, let me stop right here and say this to you. The reason why many people get out there, they step out on the water, like Peter. I heard you. And they step out. And they stop renewing their mind. And they start sinking. Because why? Because they stop seeing with their eyes, the eyes of the Holy Spirit, and started looking with their eyes. And I'm going to tell you, the most negative thing to your faith is your sight. Did you hear what I said? Let me just tell you right now, this building and all the grounds around here would have never been built if it would have been waiting on all the finances to get here and all the people to get here and all this and all that. And we're going to get all of our ducks in line. This is kingdom theology that came to us several years ago that said we're going to elect all these believers in Congress and we're going to get us a Christian president and then everything's going to be all right. Well, back then we got ourselves what we thought was a Christian president, all that kind of stuff, and we all started lining up at the pump with $4, $5, $6 a gallon gasoline. I got news for you. This thing is not going to come by the political systems of this world. It's going to come by the renewing of your mind that says, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. My eyes are toward a city whose builder, y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. I'm preaching, I think, better. Listen, Abraham and all of the prophets and all of the sages of the ages went, Isaiah was put in a hollow log. The prophet Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet Isaiah was put in a hollow log. And they sawed him in half. But here's the man who said in Isaiah chapter 9, number 9, he said, listen, he said, he shall be called the Prince of Peace. And he started describing, and we want to attribute that to Christmas. But if you'll read the book for what it is, he's prophesying about the Messiah that's coming in the future. And on his shoulders, the kingdom will rest, and of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Now, you can't describe that to somebody who's got a carnal mind. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to think about it. Don't want to talk about no Jesus. Oh, in fact, the business, I read something just yesterday, last night, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, I didn't know if you knew this. Out in that world mentality that was on the little Facebook social media calling all of us a cult. You're in a cult. Now, I didn't fool around and try to argue back on social media. I just said, you a fool. You're ignorant. You wouldn't know a cult from a church. You wouldn't know black from white. You wouldn't know red from yellow. You know why? Because you're carnal and you're dead in trespasses and sin. You better thank God Pace Assembly's here because we're the only thing with other gospel preaching churches that is reaching out to your ignorant mind to say you better get in the ark. It's about to be a flood.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.